Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Welcome to our weekly Three Down Nation CFL picks. We're here for week three, JC, and you and I did quite well in week two after a suspect week one. I know I went 3-1 against the spread. How did you do?
I don't even know. I haven't checked my record yet. I thought you were supposed to provide me with this information.
Well, I know what you did. I was testing you. You went 2-2. You incorrectly picked the Saskatchewan-Hamilton game. After a bad week one, I'm still a little bit in the hole, but I'm optimistic for what week two held, and I'm feeling very good about these picks here for week three, especially now that we have a little more data to go on, right? We've actually seen every team on the field. Most teams have played two games. We kind of know who's healthy, who's not, though. That will be a theme in this video. Certain guys may be playing this week. Some guys maybe not. We're recording this on Wednesday, and we will be posting the video in full to YouTube, Twitter, everywhere where you get your goods. So without further ado, JC, let's get into these picks, starting with the Edmonton Elks are 5.5-point home underdogs to the Montreal Alouettes on Thursday night. These teams are off to two very different starts, as the Elks lost to BC before week two bye, while the Alouettes are 2-0, knocking off the Argonauts and Red Blacks by a combined score of 67-28. Big wins there. Can the Elks cover the relatively wide spread or even knock off Montreal in their home opener at Commonwealth Stadium?
I don't think they can. I think this is a worst case scenario for the Edmonton Elks. They have a lot of room for improvement, particularly on offense. I think they need to gel Trey Ford with Jordan Maksimek's system. A bye should theoretically help with that and get people on the same page, but they're going up against essentially a chainsaw in the Montreal Alouettes defense. These guys fly around the field. They're aggressive. They make plays. There isn't another unit quite like them in the CFL. And I have full belief in Noel Thorpe's defense going to make life extremely difficult for Ford from start to finish. I think the Owls are going to win this in a landslide.
I'm with you, JC. I'm not scared of 5.5 points. I would happily take the Alouettes to cover the spread up to a touchdown. And that's not because I've completely sold my stock in the Edmonton Elks. I think the Edmonton Elks can be an 8, dare I say even 9-win team this year. I think they could be right there for that third playoff spot in the West Division, but they did not look very impressive week one, especially on the offensive side of the ball. The running game was their bread and butter last year, and their running game went nowhere week one against BC, a run defense that got absolutely skewered the very next week in Winnipeg. By a rookie fourth round pick out of the University of Alberta. The Montreal Alouettes have actually been running the ball well so far this year. Jason Moss offenses typically do not run the ball very much. They've not only got Sean Thomas Erlington, who's been effective, they are dressing Stevie Scott III behind him. Scott was a two-time All Big Ten selection at Indiana, a big-bodied back, 6'2", 230. I think that 1-2 punch could be good for Montreal, take some pressure off Davis Alexander. But defensively, right, this defense has been absolutely lights out through 2 weeks. That front six, front seven, whatever you want to call it, absolutely swarming opposing quarterbacks, whether it's Dylan Wynn, who I thought had a great week too, Sean Oakman, Lawal Uguac, some of their great Canadians, by the way, Isaac Adeyemi-Berglund. I mean, Darnell Sankey, we all know, is great, But Jeffrey Canton-Arcou, a guy who's not a starter, but plays a ton on that defense, they are absolutely rallying to the passer. I think that Noel Thorpe is going to do a great job of forcing Trey Ford to stay in the pocket. And when he was in the pocket against BC week one, he did not impress. I do think Trey Ford's going to be able to improve upon that as the season goes on. But right now, I think it is too early for this Edmonton team to compete with what I have as the number one team in the CFL. And the number one team in the Three Down Nation power rankings, by the way, the Montreal Alouettes. So I've got the Alouettes to go into Commonwealth Stadium, not only get the win, but get it by at least a touchdown and cover this 5.5-point spread. I'm not scared of 5.5 in this game at all.
The winless Toronto Argonauts are 2.5-point home underdogs to the Saskatchewan Roughriders on Friday night. It appears that Nick Arbuckle will make a third straight start for the Boatmen as Chad Kelly continues to recover from a fractured leg he suffered late last year. Meanwhile, the Riders are also looking banged up, with Samuel Emelis potentially out due to a foot injury, though they're off to a hot start with a 2-0 record. Can the Riders win a third straight game and cover this small spread, Hodge?
I think they can. Joe Robustelli looks like he'll be the next man up for Sam Emelis. Sam Emelis is great, but Joe Robustelli looked great in the preseason, even drawing a comparison to Greg Ellingson, someone who Trevor Harris spent time with during his CFL career. This Saskatchewan Roughriders defense started to show some of its ability to take away the football. Last week, there was some worry about, is AJ Ouellette healthy? What about on the back end? Roland Milligan Jr., reigning most outstanding defensive player. He looked good. AJ Ouellette looked good. I think that the Saskatchewan Roughriders team is doing a good job of fighting through injury. And something that they may want to look at, JC, regardless of the health of AJ Ouellette, is playing Kadeem Carey for this revenge game, right? Carey dressed in a backup role, got a little bit of reps in week two. I think if I'm the Saskatchewan Roughriders, I pull a Ryquell Armstead, which is what they did last year, having Ryquell Armstead go out there as a late season pickup and having a revenge game of his own. No, he didn't play Ottawa in that game, but you see the picture I'm painting here, JC. I think that Kadeem Carey, only 3 weeks removed from being a surprise cut from the Toronto Argonauts, would love to go into BMO Field, run the ball 20 times for 150 yards and a couple of touchdowns, and embarrass his former team. And a very, very important cog of that Toronto Argonauts defense, and Wynn McManus, looks unlikely to play this week. That's not confirmed, but he's banged up. So for those reasons and more, I am happy to take the Saskatchewan Roughriders to win and cover this spread on the road. I'd be happy to take them up to 4, even 5 points. So at +2.5, I've seen them, at -2.5, I've seen them -3, 3.5 some places. I'm fine with that. To me, the Riders have a good chance of going into Toronto and getting the win by at least a touchdown.
I don't know, Hodge. Is Kadeem Carey a guy known for holding grudges? Maybe somebody should ask Dave Dickinson and the Calgary Stampeders about that particular topic. No, I completely agree with you. We're on the same page here. And for me, it's less about the Saskatchewan Roughriders, who, don't get me wrong, have looked incredibly impressive, and more to do with the Toronto Argonauts, who just have not without Chad Kelly. I don't think there is any hope for them with Nick Arbuckle at quarterback in this game. He caught fire for that Grey Cup run. No, I'm not taking anything away from his performance in that game. In the two performances since, he has not looked good in the pocket. He has struggled with the amount of pressure they've allowed on him. He has made some bad turnover mistakes. And some of the basic throws that he's been asked to do just haven't been getting to where they need to be. If I was the Argos, I'd be thinking seriously about getting Tucker Horn into this game and seeing what they have in the rookie. It doesn't appear that Ryan Dinwiddie wants to do that. And as long as he continues on the path that he's on, the rest of the offense isn't good enough or isn't explosive enough to make up for what they're lacking at the quarterback position. And their defense has lost so many pieces over the course of this offseason that they haven't shown the ability to compensate for that offense yet. The pass rush hasn't been, it's been okay. It's probably the better part of that defense, but the defensive backfield hasn't been great, and their linebacking core is probably going to be missing Wynton McManus as well, which we know is the core part of that defense, right? Without him, they really suffered last season. They'll suffer again Now they don't have a quarterback who can make up for it. I just don't think there's a hope in hell for the Toronto Argonauts in this game.
The Ottawa Redblacks are set to visit the Calgary Stampeders on Saturday afternoon, and the game is a pick 'em. Drew Brown missed last week's game against Montreal, and Matthew Schultz struggled to replace him, throwing three interceptions, and it remains unclear if Brown will be ready to go for this one. The Stampeders, meanwhile, are off to a hot 2-0 start with wins over Hamilton and Toronto, despite Vernon Adams Jr. having not yet thrown his first touchdown pass of the season. Can the Redblacks get their first win of the year, or will Calgary improve to 3-0?
I love what I've seen from the Calgary Stampeders thus far, but I think they're a little bit inflated based on the opponents that they've faced off against thus far. And the Ottawa Redblacks have suffered because of some circumstances outside of their control. I think they are due for a victory in this one. If Drew Brown is under center, I'm completely confident in that take. I think he can take advantage of the weapons that he has in a way he wasn't quite able to do in week one. But even if it's not Drew Brown, they're looking like they're going to start Dustin Crum if that's the case. I don't love him as a long-term solution at quarterback, Hodge, but we can't forget some of the magic that he's been able to create in one-off games and the fact that with his legs, he is a different type of threat that the Calgary Stampeders have not quite been tested on yet. I think in a one-off contest with a team that's desperate for a victory and probably has a worse record than what they deserve, the Ottawa Redblacks, with regardless of who they're starting at quarterback, can pull this off and knock a little bit of the shine off the Calgary Stampeders.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
To me, this game quite literally comes down to one player, and that's Drew Brown. If Drew Brown is out there, he's able to move well enough to protect himself, I'm happy to roll with the Ottawa Redblacks on the road here. The other side of it for me, though, JC, and I know reportedly Dustin Crum's been taking some reps at the first team. Obviously, Matthew Schultz left a lot to be desired in last week's loss. I would absolutely roll with the Calgary Stampeders in this one to go to 3-0 if Drew Brown does not play, whether it's Schultz, whether it's Dustin Crum, whether it's my grandmother under center for the Ottawa Redblacks. I'm rolling
with
the Calgary
Stampeders. Oh, don't you grab a Hodge like that.
She's
got some
Wiley
tricks in her bag.
Well, maybe she can get out of the motor chair for long enough to take a few snaps. I don't know. We'll see. Do they let motor chairs onto the field? I'm not sure. Regardless, I'm rolling with the Calgary Stampeders if Drew Brown does not play. Defensively, this has been a pleasant surprise of a unit. No, they've not been dominant, but Florin Ermolade getting some pressure. We'll have to see how they compensate for the injury to starting middle linebacker.
Might be shorter than Grandma Hodge.
They're about the same height. Markell Lee, right, the former NFLer in the linebacking core, is hurt, so we'll have to wait and see where that linebacking core looks. Dave Dickinson did admit when speaking to the media this week that they are thin at that position right now, but the secondary, which is a unit that has completely been remade from last year, looks pretty solid considering the circumstances, especially with the Canadian Adrian Green being the highest graded player in the CFL in week two by PFF, getting two picks on Nick Arbuckle, including one that he brought back for a touchdown. So I like what we're seeing from the Calgary Stampeders. Obviously, VA is going to throw a touchdown pass before long, but I am not ready to sell my stock in the Ottawa Redblacks. Without Drew Brown, yeah, this team looks pretty dead in the water. But when you put him back there operating arguably the CFL's best receiving core, the offensive line, no, hasn't been great. They've got some injuries on that unit, but I think Drew Brown can take some pressure off that unit, and I think that he can get the job done. So if Drew Brown plays, Give me the Red Blacks to get their first dub. If it is the Calgary Stampeders up against anybody else, I'm rolling with Cowtown.
The BC Lions are 2.5-point home underdogs to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers on Saturday night. These two teams met last week at Princess Auto Stadium, where the Blue Bombers won 34-20 despite being without Zach Collaros and suffering an early injury to Brady Oliveira. It's the Lions who could be without their starting quarterback this week, as Nathan Rourke has been limited in practice due to an injury suffered to his core. Hodge, can the Lions avenge last week's loss, or will Winnipeg improve to 2-0?
I appreciate that Winnipeg has a great home field advantage at Princess Auto Stadium. That was a sold-out stadium in Winnipeg, 32,000, screaming their heads off. But if you can't beat Chris Streveler and Matthew Peterson, how the heck are you going to beat Zach Collaros, especially if the Lions don't have Nathan Rourke? And if I'm the Lions, as I said on the Three Down Nation podcast this week, JC, I'm sitting him if he's not 100%. The BC Lions are not going to be a playoff team in 2025 if Nathan Rourke is not healthy for the balance of the season, and I don't think it makes sense to put him out there with an injury to his core if it can get worse. Those are the types of injuries that can linger if you do not take the proper amount of time to rest and get back to 100%. So it's possible that he plays. We don't yet have confirmation. We probably won't get confirmation until Friday. The BC Lions will likely wait as long as possible to announce that decision. That being said, Nathan Rourke has not been good against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers when he has played. And that's something that I didn't put a lot of stock into, honestly, going into week two. One of the games Rourke lost was the West Final, where he was playing with a busted up foot. Another was the first game in 2024 when he came back from the NFL. But that stat, that coming into that game 0-4 as a starter, now 0-5, I think has more credibility behind it now that we've seen him get another crack right at the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and really struggle. I think that if you're Nathan Rourke, you have to find a way to get that figured out. If you play, if you don't play, I don't like BC's chances. Jeremiah Masoli, a wonderful story, a great veteran. He did not look great in the late showings of that game. He looked very poor, I thought, in the preseason. So the BC Lions, I like some of what they got. Sione Tehama is coming back from suspension. That should upgrade the pass rush opposite Matthew Betts. But on the whole, I don't think they're going to be able to handle the Winnipeg Blue Bombers here. For less than a field goal, that's not a lot of points. I'm happy to eat those, take the Bombers to win and cover in Vancouver.
I will eat those points as well, because I don't think this is a good situation for the Lions, regardless of whether or not they think Nathan Rourke is healthy enough to play. When Nathan Rourke has been at his worst, it's been when he has been pressing, right? When he has been desperate to prove something or get over a hump. That's often happened against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, because he has yet to prove himself against that team. It's going to be especially so after a bad loss and after suffering an injury. You run a real risk of putting him in jeopardy if you decide to play him in this game. I don't even know why they're entertaining it as an option. I know Rourke is going to fight like a dog to make sure he's in there, but you've got to protect your QB1 at a certain point. And to me, there is nothing good that can come from Nathan Rourke playing in this game. That leaves me with Jeremiah Masoli. And Jeremiah Masoli, I just don't think is the player he once was. I don't see that team as being competitive without Rourke under center, and I don't think they'll be competitive with a hurt Nathan Rourke under center either. Winnipeg is just better from top to bottom. They've got a better defense, and they've got better offensive weapons at this stage. I think the BC Lions have put all their eggs in that Rourke basket, and it will pay off a number of times this season, Hodge. But in this particular game, it's not a good matchup, and they've got to think about the protection of their quarterback. I think whatever they decide, it's going to be Winnipeg's day.
One thing I do think is working to the BC Lions' advantage this week is that they have some film, right? They came into week two not knowing exactly what the Winnipeg Blue Bombers were going to do, not knowing exactly what a Jason Hogan offense looks like, not knowing how Jordan Younger was going to call that defense in 2025. That being said, again, even with being at home, even having some film, I think the odds are stacked against them. If you weren't very competitive, because let's be honest, that wasn't the most competitive game we've ever seen in Winnipeg. I don't know how, when Winnipeg upgrades a quarterback, you're going to suddenly be more competitive. at home. You never know. It's the CFL. Anybody can win any game. That's part of the reason why this league is so darn fun to watch and cover. But those are our picks for week 3 in the CFL. For JC Abbott, I'm John Hodge. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching at 3 Down Nation. We'll be back on Monday for our next podcast episode and Wednesday for our week 4 picks.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.